listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon, and we're honored to be here with you. And you heard our intro and all, and we hope that you can stay in tune with us for the entire hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 o'clock, and it's a privilege to be here. And the hour goes by so fast with the things we talk about, and we like to have more time, but sometimes we have to make it 2 or 3 weeks to cover a topic. And so I'm going to start something here today that we've talked about a little bit over the months, and maybe the last couple of years especially, and we mentioned some tidbits from it. We never went into really a lot of detail, but I'd like to do something with it today. And well, I'm going to have Pastor Donna make a couple of announcements here. And for you that will be listening, I did this commentary quite a few years ago on the pictures of the Messiah. And after it was done for quite a few years, well, then I added lesson 17 to this. It originally had 16 lessons. Now it's got 17 lessons in it. And so we had a class here quite a few years ago that we had a lot of people came from different churches and all. And I went through the entire book, didn't we, Pastor Don? We covered each lesson each week. Well, lesson 17 wasn't in there at this time. And so the Lord's been dealing with me about it, so I'd like to share something about it today. We'll never get this done, but I want to hit the highlights and some introduction with you today about the last two prophetic days, and then we'll see what God does with it. Maybe I'm going to talk on it again, I think, next week. But it's important to know what God's plan is and where we're at and all that, and so we'll talk about that. So we're honored to be here with you. We welcome all you listeners, wherever you are, at home, in your car, maybe you're on the internet someplace around the country or out in the world someplace. So we welcome you to the program.
Amen.
And we've called this program for a lot of years now, 16 plus years, Raising the Standard. And that's
right.
What we want to do. So Pastor Donna's here with me.
Hallelujah.
Her and I co-pastor this church here in Stuart, Florida, and we have for 21 years. And God gave me the name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation 19:10. So we're honored to be here, and that's what we want to do. We want to reveal some things to you because, you know, God has a word of eschatology, which is prophetic to the future, but we know also He has an now word for us.
Amen.
And so we operate in both realms. Thank God for that, because it's in the Word of God that we can do that. So Pastor Donna, make your announcements that you want, and then we'll start this morning or this afternoon. Now it's not morning anymore. Now it's afternoon.
That's right. Praise the Lord. We're on every Saturday at 12 noon. We're on this radio program, and we're also on the internet, so you can listen to us if you happen to be driving down the highway right now and you live somewhere else. You can listen to us every Saturday, Lord willing, at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. All you need to go to is WCNO.com and hit live. And also, there's a lot of podcasts where you can listen to past programs, I think up to 2 years. So that's plenty of listening. Amen. Praise God. So our point is to raise the standard, like
Amen.
Pastor Gene said. And so to bring forth the truth of what God's word and to talk about the last days, because we are in those last days. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida, beautiful, mm-hmm. sunny Stuart, Florida. And we have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m. And we also have fellowship afterwards and a fellowship dinner. So if you're coming to visit us and you're listening to us, you want to come visit. Many people come now and then visit. once in a while, just plan on spending the day and having go ahead and spending some time and having a meal with us, and you
can
have a chance to talk to Pastor Gene or myself.
Amen.
And we would just be blessed to be able to meet you. I know many people listen to the broadcast and have over the last 16 plus years,
and we've never met you.
Amen. Some we have, and some we haven't. Sorry. So we just thank the Lord for you. And also, if you'd like to give a love offering for this radio ministry, we would gladly accept that as well. So we have Sunday morning services, and then we have Friday night. We have Friday night service at 7. We have Shabbat, and we have communion together, and we spend time seeking God's presence. Amen. Worshiping Him. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus or Yeshua is a spirit of prophecy.
Wow.
And that's Revelation 19:10. I love
it.
Want to look that up. That's who we're to worship God. Worship Him.
Amen.
And then on Saturday, we have a worship arts class. That includes drama, dancing, billowing. We're planning a Purim program. So right now they're practicing for the Purim program, which will be in March. And so that's a class to, you know, how to worship with different instruments.
Hallelujah.
And so that's on Saturdays at 2 p.m. And we also have Bible school today at 4.
Hallelujah.
4 p.m. we have Bible school, and we are teaching on Christian foundations. This afternoon we'll be teaching on
we're going to review the lesson from last week, which was the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Baptism of the Holy
and,
Ghost.
Tomorrow on Sunday we're going to go into another doctrine that's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 6, the laying on of hands.
Laying on of hands. All these are doctrines in the Bible. We need to know these foundations,
right.
And we need to know them. We need to operate in them. They're not ancient, and they're not over with. Amen.
That's right.
But
hallelujah.
They are continuing. Amen. Mm-hmm. So that's today. It's 4 o'clock, and then we spend some time afterwards in worshiping the Lord. And so we're just blessed to be here today. I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey.
Hello, wonderful people.
we're just really getting stirred up about coming over there, and so we're going to talk to you. And we just bless you, and we just thank. They listen to us, you know, Pastor Gene, every
Saturday.
They're listening
right now. That's right.
And that's there. They get fed. So it's. They say it's a real blessing, and I believe that this radio program is a blessing to many people. I want to mention also that we will be having our Purim program, which is going to be in March.
Hallelujah.
And that's during Adar 2. It's going to be on a Saturday, the 15th of March. So plan on coming out. And for that, it's going to start at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, mm-hmm. and there'll be a meal and also a program, a drama program
about
Purim. It's a very important time of the year, and it's a good learning experience, and it's great for kids. Kids love it, and you know it's about joy, about victory, mm-hmm. and God gives us victory, and we can see there's victories. People had victories all through the Bible. And how God uses different people, even those who think they may not be anything, right?
That's right.
God will use them. So that's going to be in March 15th. So mark your calendar. You need to RSVP if you're going to come, because we only have a limited amount of space.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be at 5 o'clock on March 15th. I want to give our phone number, and we're going to start this teaching about the last two prophetic days. And we're getting close to that.
That's right.
Amen. The phone number here in Stewart is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
So we hope you can stay in tune for the whole program. And I think this is going to really just stir your thirst
Amen.
Up to find out some things. And you know what I'm going to share in the next couple of weeks here? This has always been in the Word of God. It has never been there. And it's just nobody's ever really looked at it that way, and I've never heard this taught this way. But to start off,
I want to read a scripture.
Go right ahead, honey. Go ahead.
This is in Psalm 119. I love Psalm 119,
mm-hmm.
and it's verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light.
Light.
That's what we want, isn't
That's
it?
That's what we want.
It giveth understanding.
Amen.
Unto the simple.
That's right.
So we're talking about His words.
That's
the entrance.
Right.
Of thy word, God's words, giveth light.
Amen.
And understanding. So we thank the Lord for a lot, for understanding, for those who will be listening and hearing. Like you said, you don't have time to go through the whole thing today.
That's why they need to get the commentary.
But they will, if they have ears to hear, they will hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying through you and through this commentary. But if they would like the commentary, which has all the feasts of the Lord, plus Purim, mm-hmm. plus these two last days we're going to talk about today, they can give us a call.
Amen.
And they can send a check. It's, what is it, $25 plus $3 shipping and handling?
$3 for shipping and handling.
And it's a whole, I'd say it's a whole course in some knowing some Jewish things. We need to know the basic Jewish things.
All the Jewish foundations.
About the feast. Plus, those charts are worth $1 million that are in your book. You have like, what, 8 or 10 charts? I'm not sure how many.
Pictures worth 1,000 words.
Pictures worth 1,000 words.
That's right.
Amen. So we thank the Lord for His word. And
that's
we
right.
thank you for that the words giveth light and understanding to us.
Well, how this lesson came about, this was back in 2003. And I'd finished the commentary. And I was asking the Lord all the time, because I had a hunger to know the truth of God's word. And I had been asking God for at that time for about 4 or 5 years. To give me the answer to the mystery of when the last two prophetic days began. And so this was given to me in November 2003, so that's what been, 11 years ago, lying on the floor before God. I was at church one Saturday evening, and I don't know what, when I went down to pick up something, whatever, and I was just quickened by the Holy Ghost to lay down in front of the podium. As I laid down, I began to pray, didn't have any of this thought in my mind at all. All of a sudden, this stuff started coming. And so I got up and wrote down a few notes, and so when I went home, well, then I just the following week, or the next 2 weeks, I really just exhausted a study on it to find out what God was trying to show, not only to me, but to give it to the church if they would receive what God wants them to know at that time. And so that's what I did. And so I might mention this as we start on this teaching so you don't get off on the wrong vein here with us. You know, I want you, the things I'm going to talk about, I'm not casting these years and all into concrete. So
that's right.
we might be off a little bit, but it appears a lot of this is going to be very key. And so it's going to be significant if we look at this leading up to this point in time. And so you know, the Bible tells us that we should be to study, to show thyself a workman, a workman need not to be ashamed and all that. Study the word of God, and that we could rightly divide the word of truth and all that. And so this is what we're going to do with this if we can. And the commentary, if you get, we have two special charts on this that helps to understand all this. But you can get the commentaries Don mentioned if you want it. And so we ask you to ask God right now as we talk about it. Give yourself a prophetic mind. That's why I tell the Lord to give me
eyes to see.
Yeah. And so see. And
light
so,
can
so
come
what
in.
We're going to share with you is evidence that demands a verdict. And so mm-hmm. we'll talk about this. Now, before we do this, I've got my commentary opened up here that I wrote a long time ago and is still available to you. There's an introduction I think we need to talk about. And I want to talk about a few things before we get into the key parts of this. Now, the introduction with this is very important because, you know, God finally gave, I was asking at that time for many years to give me further illumination, insight about the last 2,000 years. Now, if you study Genesis chapter 1, we have 6 prophetic days. Over, I believe with all my heart that each one of those days, physical days, a 24-hour day, represents a 1,000-year period in God's plan, okay? And he's got a 7,000-year plan to restore not only mankind, but the earth back to the way it was in the beginning. And so I had a desire for that. And so I began to ask him some things. And so and when I had these charts for you. So I just want to mention some things that I shared in the commentary. And if you wind up getting this, you could read this as well. Now, this is why I wrote here. This is very short, not that long. The church has been fed a steady diet of anti-Semitic principles and thoughts for hundreds and hundreds of years. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
With the result being the church is being undernourished and starved of the proper diet that God wants us to have, our Jewish and Hebrew roots. However, when we return to our beginning foundations, which God established through His chosen people and the nation of Israel, we begin to discover the plot of Satan to rob the church of its founding principles. These principles were based on the Jewish faith and upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Yeshua the Messiah himself being what? The chief cornerstone, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Now, these foundations were all based on Jewish expectations. I'm going to say this again. All of these foundations were all based on Jewish expectations and not on Gentile and pagan philosophy. Colossians 2:8 reads this, "Beware lest any man spoil you through what? Philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." When the church began to allow pagan philosophy and the paganism into the church, the church began to allow paganism and all that to come in to dictate their doctrine. Many erroneous interpretations were instituted in the church, and they were called at that time foundational. We're doing a foundational class right now at the church. And those are things that, that are doctrines that we cannot deviate from. So they put these in place with all the paganism, and they call it foundational. Consequently, almost all the Jewish expectations and Hebrew thought were removed from the proper diet that God wanted his people to have, with the results being that many scriptures were taken out of context due to the lack of having the Jewish understanding. Therefore, with this steady diet being fed to the church down through time, many scriptures were actually really taken out of context. Thus, many prophetic truths were called what? Forbidden knowledge. I read a book here quite a few years ago by a young lady. Her initials are D.A. and her last name is Miller. And the book is called Forbidden Knowledge. It's an incredible book. On the front of it, you see this old beat up Bible. Like you see something way back in the, like in England, an old beat up Bible. It had a chain around it, real rusty with a big old lock on it. When you turn the book over and look at the back of it, there's a key on the back. And on the big key that would open that lock on the front, you know what's written on it? It's Israel. Israel is the answer for us to understand things prophetically that we've been missing out on. Well, let's go on then. But when we know and understand the Jewish expectations, many things which the church body today calls forbidden knowledge, and listen, this is key, is really not forbidden knowledge. I believe this lesson we're going to talk about these next 2 weeks will uncover the truth in regards to some of these things called forbidden knowledge. God has never intended, listen, he has never intended to hide or conceal anything to those who have spiritual ears and eyes, especially those with a prophetic mind. So right now, I mentioned a while ago, ask God right now to give you a prophetic mind as you study this lesson. And I mentioned always, if you'd like to get a copy of the CD or a tape that we're going to talk about today and next week, what all we ask for is a love offering. You make out a check to our ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip there is 34995. Amen. So we hope you get stirred up with this and you'll want to look at some things that we're going to talk about. Now, we're talking about the last two prophetic days. Well, we need to lay a few foundations here with you as well. So I want to talk about some definitions of the last 2 days for you to understand where we're going to go. So here we go. You ready? I got four things here. It's very important for us to know, and God's put it in his word for us to know that there's several things to keep in mind which will reveal God's purposes and his plan. We just mentioned he's got a 7,000 year plan from the time that Adam was on the earth until he's going to establish the kingdom. The kingdom will be over, and then the new Jerusalem will come down. So he's got a plan to restore man and the earth back the way it was in the beginning. Now, I've got four things very key here. Number one, many Old Testament scriptures have double meanings. They really do, which are called the law of double interpretation. A lot of things were written by God through the prophets, and they would write something down, and it might have been apropos in their days or within a few years, and it's also very prophetic, many of them, to the future, to the end of the age as we know it. Now, there's two things you got to keep in mind under this. So when we think about doubled interpretation, it can be a prophecy to be fulfilled in the very near future, and some of them were, but they also have a double meaning. Here's another thought with this. A prophecy which also has a remiss or a sowed, a hidden meaning, mystery, to be fulfilled what? In the last days. The second thing I want to mention, God's timing, this is very key, God's timing for all end time events will always revolve around his appointed times for the church, for mankind, for philosophy? No. His appointed times for who? For Israel. For Israel, because God gave it to them. The third thing you want to keep in mind, God's pattern. I love patterns. God has so many patterns in the Word of God. God's pattern for the revelation of the latter days has been revealed in Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 2, and in Leviticus 23, 1 through 44, the appointed time. They're all revealing this. Thus revealing, as I mentioned, God's 7,000-year plan to restore mankind and the earth back to the way it was in the beginning. Aren't you glad? And the fourth thing you want to keep in mind as we talk about this, also God will use other events in Israel's history, such as Hanukkah and Purim, to reveal the establishment of his end-time revelation. Now, I want to mention one thing here. Well, let's do this first, because I'm going to take you over to Genesis 1 here in a moment, but I want to do one other thing first here. So now we've read all this, and we've mentioned to you out of my commentary, so let's go on with this now. Things you have to consider when we talk about what we're going to deal with. So let's now define what the last two prophetic days represent. If we look at Psalms 90, verse 4, the Bible reveals that in God's eyes, 1,000 years is like yesterday.
Amen.
It says, therefore, 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Also, the Apostle Peter stated But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. This is in 2 Peter 3:8. Therefore, prophetically, God has revealed what his time is compared to our time. So note in Psalm 90, verse 4, if you read it this week or even now, also it states, as a watch in the night, a watch in Yeshua's day consisted of 3 hours. Some similarities here reveal this number 3. Whenever I see the third day or 3, my eyes perk up because it's so important. But if we go to Genesis chapter 1, we'll see over here, starting in verse 9, this is when God called the dry land out of the earth, okay? And verse 11 says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were what? The third day. That's why Yeshua had to be prophetically why he was in the ground for 3 days. Right here it is. Wow.
Yeah.
Amen. And then we go a little bit further about the fourth day. This is because we're going to talk about this a little bit. The fourth day was what was put in place there. The heavens were put in place, and the moon and the stars and the sun, you know, it divided the day from the night. And he said, let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day. We know that's the S-U-M. And the lesser light to rule the night, which is what? The moon. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. Now here's the key two verses. And to rule over the day and over the night. And listen to this. And to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Yeshua came after 4,000 prophetic
Amen.
Days on this, or 4,000 years, I say, which is those days. All right. He came at the conclusion of 4,000 days from the time that Adam was on the earth. You can prove that. It's in my commentary. If you get it, I'll show you how we came up with all that. Just the Bible, nothing else. No calendars, just the Bible. And the evening and the morning says, well, what were the fourth day? So what did Yeshua come to do? He came to what? Take us out of darkness and bring us into light. So this is revealing all this. So this is important to look at this thing. So we have 7 days mentioned in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. All right. And we know the seventh day is the day of rest that God talks about. And that's a picture of what? Of that last 1,000-year period, which will be what? The millennial kingdom, and there'll be complete rest on the earth. Now, let's look at this thing about these 3 days and all this. Because, you know, a watch in Jesus' day was 3 hours long. When I was in the Navy, I stood 4-hour watches. But Jesus' day was, when you were on duty, it was 3 hours. I got 6 things to mention about the three. Now, listen to that. In Genesis 1, we just read this. The seed-bearing plants were created on the earth, what? On the third day, okay? That's in Genesis 1, 11, and 13. The next thing, Yeshua rose from the dead on the third day.
Amen.
The seed that brought us life, as it tells us in Luke chapter 24, verse 46. So he came out, and he's producing people of like kind. He wants us to be like-minded, walking with him, amen? Now here's the third thing. Yeshua's resurrection occurred during what? The third watch, mm-hmm. in the morning, and you can compare this in Exodus 14, verse 24. Now the next thing, in Exodus 19, the Israelites were instructed by Moses to set themselves apart for 3 days, thus bringing them to the 50th day from what? Departing Egypt, which is on Shavuot, which was on our, we call it Pentecost, on Sivan 6. This is in Exodus 19, 10, 11. Another one, on the third day, God came down on Mount Sinai and Moses went up to see God, Exodus 19, 20. Here's the last thing. Likewise, at the beginning of the third day, prophetically, from Yeshua's death, God will come down and we will go up. Hallelujah. You can see this in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 17 and Hosea 6:2. Now, think about this now. As we've talked about this over the months, you know, some of the other things in this commentary, but not so much about this lesson, we want to keep some things in mind here as we do this. So, listen, in our commentary, we proved in this commentary that Yeshua's incarnation occurred at the conclusion of 4,000 years from the time of Adam. I've already mentioned that. Consequently, then, from Yeshua's arrival until the beginning of the millennial kingdom should be a period of time of 2,000 years or 2 days. The third day will be the seventh millennium from Adam, thus completing God's, what, 7,000-year plan for mankind and the earth. So there's a mystery here. So I was laying on the floor that night. I said, Lord, What starts the beginning of these last 2,000 years? How do we know? This is my question. How do we know this? When did it start? Well, my original theology years ago was that these last 2,000 years, or these 2 days, started Yeshua's birth. And boy, did I want that, because if that was true, if it was true, that means we'd be out of here that much sooner. But I find out through all this that it's not true. And we'll listen to me, and we'll show you this. However, for this to be true, we need to investigate some things further. I have done a thorough study regarding the year of Yeshua's birth, and with the results I have with it and the things I've looked at, I'm convinced that Yeshua was born in 3 B.C., so, I mean, you know, the church is talking about 33 A.D. Couldn't have been. He'd been too old, okay? So that's out, all right? So he was born in 3 B.C. on our calendar. This date of his birth then raises some very interesting conclusions. So look at this now as we talk about this. If Yeshua was born in 3 B.C., as I just mentioned, then the conclusion of 2,000 years would have been in 1997. Didn't happen, did it? So how many years have we gone since 1997?
Quite a few.
Okay. Quite a few years. Okay. However,
17.
However, so. Need to turn my light on. However, the third day did not start at that time. In fact, we now have gone what at this time in 2003, 6 years beyond that point in time. Now we've gone even further. Huh? This reveals that our timing of the starting point of these last 2 days must be what incorrect. And I struggle with this. I said, all right, Lord, show me your word. Some might come to the conclusion that our calendar is in error by a few years. Well, it could be off a little bit. But with what the Lord has shown me, I believe our calendar is pretty close. This then means that the 4,000 years from Adam would conclude in the year of what? 3 B.C. That's what we're looking at here, okay? Now, let's see what else I want to mention here. All right, here we go. We do have a scripture to prove, because you have to have a scripture, that the last 2 days start at Yeshua's birth, okay? We do not hear that. I'll say it again. We do not have a scripture. You can't find one scripture that proves that the last 2 days started at Yeshua's birth. It's not in the Word of God, okay? Now, this is what we're going to look at here. So, Pastor Don, I want you to go over to Hosea chapter 5 with me, and we're going to look at some things here until we run out of time, and then we'll talk about this some more next week, all right? Glory be to God, okay? So, we're going to talk about this. Okay, I mentioned we do have a scripture. We do have a scripture. Okay. We have no scripture showing that at his birth is what started the last two days. Okay, but we do have a scripture that shows at his death, burial, and resurrection that it started. So we're going to go over to Hosea chapter 5. If you're at home and you got a Bible, open it up. If you don't, well, you can listen, and you can get the tape or the CD next week. All we ask for is a love offering. You can make
chapter
a check
five,
out.
One yeah. verse.
I'm going to look at verse 15, but before okay. we do that, excuse me, I want to mention something else here. Now, if we read all of Hosea chapter 5, we find out that this is talking about there's a judgment upon Israel and what they had done and all that. And there's a couple things we want to show you here, because in chapter 5, verse 6, because of their pride, and also they shall go with their flocks and with their herds to see the Lord, or to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. So he was so upset. Remember, he left. He left their presence in that day. And we see that mentioned, okay? Now, what I want to do now, we know that in this time and all that, how Israel was, and we know that Ephraim was a name for the northern tribes and all that. And I want to go to verse 12 now in this verse. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. So he's talking about the northern and the southern tribes. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his womb, then when Ephraim, remember, he went to Assyria and sent to King Jerob, yet could he not heal you, nor cure you of your wound, because they were in idolatry and sin. Verse 14, for I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. He's going to go away. He mentioned over here in verse 6 he was going to go away. He did in that day, all right? I will take away, and none shall rescue. Now, all of a sudden, we have a different thought here prophetically. So he left at that time, we know. All right? Now, listen to verse 15. This is a very key verse we're going to look at. Glory be. So, you know, as I mentioned before, I wanted to be at his birth, but I found out that it wasn't. And so he revealed to me that I'd been looking through glasses about the third day that was tinted by man's thought and opinion instead of looking for the many real hidden truths in God's word. So I had to listen to the Holy Ghost and to open my heart to the prophetic word in a new, fresh way, and the answer and understanding began to come. All right, here we are now. We're in chapter 5. This is the key verse. Now listen, this is very key. Remember, God left Israel. We know, if you read over in Ezekiel, he warned him for so long, and then at one point, I forget what chapter it's in, but anyway, the presence of God just lifted up from the presence in the temple, and he left. Well, here we see tells him right here, he withdrew himself from them. We overhear it says that he would go away. Now go on to chapter 15. Now listen to this now. He says, I will go. Now this is prophetic in their days, but also it's prophetic to the future. Double meaning, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. So this is jumping out to the future. The affliction is another word in the Hebrew referring to Jacob's trouble. Now, if we read chapter 6, verse 1, he tells you what this is all about. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. So this is referring to Jacob's trouble, the terrible time they're going to go through. But he's wanting them to return to God and understand that the Messiah, Yeshua that came, is truly their Messiah. So this is interesting how this is a prophetic thing to the future. Now, verse 15, I'm going to read it slowly. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. And then he talks to them, asks them to come and return back to the Lord. He's doing that right now in Israel. He's calling his people to come back to God through Yeshua. They can't have a relationship with Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh without having Yeshua in their lives. So here we see this. Now listen to this. He says, I will go and return. We're thinking future now. In our days, it's coming up soon. Amen? Pastor Don, would you go over to John chapter 16? I'm going to have you read a verse there in just a second. He says, I will go and return to my place. So if he was going to return, that means he must have been there before and he's going to go back. Yeshua died, went back to be with his father. What year was that? I believe it was in 30 AD. He died and he came to the earth, did the work that his father had him to do. He returned back to his place, which was in heaven. He says, I'm going to be there till, means until what? They acknowledge their offense. So what was their offense? Rejecting the Messiah, Yeshua. And then it says, and seek my face in their affliction. It means Jacob's trouble, they will seek me early. Now, Don, I want you to read John 16, 28, I think it is, for us on the radio here. Okay. As we set them up for this.
At that time, ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you, that I will pray the Father for you.
Amen. Isn't that good? Is that right? You chapter 16?
You said 16, verse 26.
I said 28.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's a good verse, too.
Well, Jesus continues. So I'll go ahead and read 27 with
NYA. Okay, go right ahead.
For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. Came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father.
Yeah, wonderful. Hear that? Mm-hmm. So it says he came into the world and he's going to go back to be with his Father.
Came forth from the Father.
And he's going to go back.
And am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father.
And I believe Hosea 5:15 is a prophetic foreshadow showing us all that.
So he had to leave the world.
That's right.
So that the Holy Ghost, he'd send the Holy Ghost, didn't he?
That's right. So then we go into chapter 6 of Hosea, and we mentioned the first verse as referring to Jacob's trouble, all that they're going to go through. But now look at verse 2. It says, after 2 days. Now think about this. What we've read here in chapter 5 in Hosea, I couldn't find anything here that happened in a period of 2 days, in other words, 48 hours. So what are the 2 days all about? We just read that. One day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day to God's in God's mind. So it says after 2 days. So I really believe this is revealing what 2,000 years prophetically will he. Now remember, we got to remember this. He's talking to the Jewish people. I'll say it again. He's talking to the Jewish people here, not to the church. He's talking to the Jewish people, not to the church. After 2,000 years, will he revive us? In the third day, will he raise us up, and we shall live in his sight? Wow. So this revealed to me after I studied this for quite a while, because I kept wanting to tell people and understand in my heart also that the last 2 days started at his birth, but it didn't. There's a parenthetical time in there of 33 years that was set aside by God for Christ when he was on the earth, okay? So that's the key thing about this. So it says after 2 days, he will revive us in the third day, all right? So in the third, so it's going to be 2,000 years from the time that Yeshua was on the earth, there's going to be a third day come. What will that third day be? It'll be the millennial kingdom. So we go into the kingdom, all right? So what's God showing to us right here? He's showing to me and should be to you that the clock started on the last two prophetic days, not from his birth, but from the most important event that ever happened in history, his death, burial and resurrection, when he went back to be with his father, and that was in 30 AD. So we have 2 days. So what does that bring us to? If we go 2 days, two days is prophetically what? 2,000 years. So if we go from 30 AD and we go 2,000 years, what do we come to? We come to the year what? 2030. All right? So from my understanding, if our calendar is correct, okay, think about it, that means that's when he's going to end his work with the nation of Israel. Remember, he'll finish his work with the church first, and then he'll address Israel as well. That's what Jacob's trouble is all about. It's not the church's trouble. Jacob's name was what? Changed to Israel. It's Israel's time. It's God's mercy and grace and loving kindness to give them another chance for 7 years to come to the Son of God that came to this earth to give them salvation and cleanse them from all their sin. And so this is what this is all about here. So it takes us out to 2030. Well then, how do we relate this with the church, okay? Because this is talking, he talked to Israel. Well, think about this. And I believe this all in my heart. I believe in pre-tribulation, catching away, and resurrection and all that. So think about it. So we go out to 2030. So that's when he's going to end the program with Israel. He says right here what he's going to do. He will revive them. There'll be a revival. What? In the third day. In the beginning of that third day. And I believe it's going to be 6 months into the third day, which is going to be in the fall. He will what? Raise us up. It means resurrection. And we what? Shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. And if you study the Hebrew language, the word rain, it's over in Joel chapter 2 also, the word rain can be interpreted as a teacher of righteousness. So listen to this. He shall come unto us as what? The teacher of righteousness, as the latter and the former teacher of righteousness unto the earth. So here he mentions not the former rain, he mentions the latter rain first. So he's talking about the last days. So this is very key that we understand this, okay? And so to me, I find the light came on that night laying on the floor that the time was going to come from the time that our Messiah went back to be with his Father. So if he's going to end this in 2030 approximately, with the Jewish people, what do? We back up 7 years, and we come to the year, what, 2023, and that could well be the year of what? The resurrection out from among the dead and the catching away of the true ecclesia, the Jew and Gentile, in Yeshua the Messiah. Isn't that incredible? So it sounds to me like that we have a few years to go yet, but it's interesting looking at this to know all this. And so I had to deal with this, and I had a hard time. Now I want you to think about this. I originally believed all this, and I'm going to just share this with you. In Daniel 9:25 through 27, if you read it over there, the most common teaching here is that the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, which is a period of 49 years, and 62 weeks, which is 434 years, the total being 483 years. But remember, Daniel's prophecy was 490 years, so there's 7 years that hasn't come yet. The assumption here is that from Nehemiah 2:1, by most teachers, is the starting point of these last 483 years leading up to the Messiah. This beginning year would be, according to most people, around 445 BC. Thus, adding the 483 years to 445 BC would bring this concluding time to around the time, they believe, that Yeshua rode into Jerusalem on the donkey on Nisan 10. But see, we're going to prove here this can't be. Now listen to this. However, in one of our lessons, number 7 in the commentary, if you don't have it, you need to get the commentary, we prove this theory incorrect. Instead, the beginning point of these 483 years began at the end of the Babylonian captivity, which was in Jeremiah 29:10. Go read it. Jeremiah 29:10, which reveals that 483 years from the end of the Babylonian captivity will bring us to the birth of the Messiah. I went, wow, when I saw that. Not to his triumphant entrance into Jerusalem on Nisan 10 of the year 33 AD, as they teach. First of all, Yeshua did not die in 33 AD, but instead he died in 30 AD. So you take 3 BC plus 33 years, you come to 30 AD. Isn't that right? 3 BC plus 33 AD comes to what? I'll say it again. 3 BC plus 33 years will bring you to 30 AD. Therefore, the error in this theology comes from the wrong starting point, and also the wrong year of the Messiah's death. Now listen to this. Next, in Daniel 9:26 states this, and after 62 weeks, this is the 434 years, shall the Messiah be cut off? What? It means to die. The Hebrew terminology here also includes the 7 weeks of years, which is 49, making the actual total 483 years. The key word in the scripture is the word after. I got this in great big bold letters in my commentary for you if you get it. As we approve in lesson 7 of this commentary, the after refers to 33 years after the Messiah's death. So what we read up there was there was a certain amount of time unto the Messiah. It doesn't mean when he rode into Jerusalem, he was recognized as the Messiah at his birth by the by God and about 12 people at that time. So it says after, as we proved in lesson 7, the after refers to about 33 years after the Messiah's birth. That's when he was cut off. Now, not as many teach, as they teach 4 days after his triumphant entrance into Jerusalem on Nisan 10 of the year 33 AD. Can't be. Now, listen to this. Therefore, the truth brought to me, what God brought this truth to me in my heart in this place as I was laying on the floor, which required further study and illumination from the Holy Ghost. I spent a lot of time looking at this. So the results of what we have studied here so far reveals a period of 33 years that seems to be prophetically unaccounted for. We have one comment in the New Testament about Yeshua when he was 12 years old, when he was with all the scholars and all that at that time. The years of Yeshua's life, think about this, the years of Yeshua's life from his birth to his death, that's what this time's about, thus revealing the key events of Yeshua's life, which are what? His death, burial, and resurrection. Furthermore, God began to reveal to me a term called parenthetical time. Well, what does this term really mean? The dictionary defines this phrase thus, a remark or a passage that departs from the theme of a discourse. Also, an interlude or interval of time. It's really interesting when we think about this. Amen. This is so key. So this 33 years is like God just set this aside for the life of Yeshua until he died to bring us to the most important event that ever happened in history, his death, burial, and resurrection. So what's the next most important event that will ever happen in history? When he comes back to put his foot on the Mount of Olives. Now think about this now. The Word of God reveals in several places where there's an interval time called an interlude or parenthetical time. The 400, this prophecy we're talking about right now, the 490-year prophecy given to Daniel is a good example of this time interval. As we have seen in our study of this particular prophecy, the 483 years have been fulfilled already here on earth. However, the last 7 years have not as yet been fulfilled prophetically. We're waiting on, that's Jacob's trouble. In essence then, God literally paused his prophetic clock for Israel after the 483 years were completed. We're talking about prophetic, but time, the clock will continue. And yet earth time has continued on for almost 2,000 years. This time period is called what? Parenthetical time. And this is revealed in Daniel 9:25 through 27. So it's talking about him coming to the earth as a baby and when he was cut off 33 years later. Therefore, God in the future will start his prophetic clock again for Israel to complete these last 7 years of Daniel's prophecy. Amen? So think about this. In a similar manner, God has a period of 33 years set aside prophetically, starting from Yeshua's birth until his death, burial, and resurrection. Daniel 9:26 states, after the 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. After the 483 years, in other words. Well, since we have proved that the Messiah's birth came at the end of the 483 years, therefore, between Daniel 9:25 and the next verse, 9:26, is a period of time consisting of 33 years, actually 33 and a half years, from Messiah's birth until his death, 33 years later. God has shown me that this time period of 33 years is another parenthetical time interval prophetically, with the reason being, listen, this is very key, I put this bold in the commentary, with the reason being to allow the death of the Messiah to be the central event, great big letters, the central event in God's prophetic plan for Israel and the church. This then is a starting point of the last 2,000 years, from Yeshua's death and not at his birth. It's incredible, amen? Amen. Just understand that. It's amazing.
Amazing.
So, now, I've never heard anybody teach on that, but it's an interesting thought because let's go read that, Pastor Don. Let's go to Daniel chapter 9. Because we only got about 14 and a half minutes, but I thought we ought to look at this. I'm gonna go to Daniel now. Go all the way over to Daniel. You've got to make a left turn in your Bible. Hope you're at home there. And I want to go over to Daniel chapter 9 with you for a moment. You got something you're going to share in a minute, I know. And we might just conclude this with me. We'll talk about some things next week about this as well. Now, Daniel 9 reveals this 490-year prophecy that God used with Daniel. Now, the question is, why was it 490 years? We can tell you why. The Jews, 70 times, did not honor the Sabbath of the land. 70 years, or 70 times. And the land had to rest every 7 years. So you take 70 times 7, what do you get? 490 years.
490 years.
That's what. So God's using the show about their disobedience and all. But he shows us what's going to happen. But I'm going to read 25 and 26 with you. in Daniel, what we just read here, talked about. Now, 25 says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times." Now, it says unto the Messiah in the middle of this verse. I'm in a King James Bible. Thank you, Lord. All right. Glory. So this, when was he born? From the time that the commandment went back to restore. They couldn't restore until they had to return first, didn't they? They returned and they were able to build, start to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah. So this takes us to the point of his birth, okay? Unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. So this time right here, and we just talked about at the end of this, is a period of 434 years. But we also have to include what? The 7 weeks, which is the 49 years, which brings it out to 483 years, okay? Now, it says even in troublesome times. So from verse 25 to 26, prophetically, we have 3.5 years that we're talking about in Yeshua's life. Now, here we go. Verse 26. This is a key word. And after, hear that? Mm-hmm. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So when was that? In 30 AD, okay? He was cut. What was it mean, cut off? He died for us, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. We know that was Titus and his armies in 70 AD, the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So I've never heard anybody talk about this way. You know, it's always unto the Messiah, meaning when he rode into Jerusalem on Nisan 10 of that year, when he died, okay, on a donkey. But this is unto the Messiah. He had to come first, didn't he? He had to come to the earth first.
That's right.
So I think this is referring to his birth when he came to the earth, and he was totally then at that time. At that time, at least 12 people knew he was the Messiah.
And we know exactly when he came to the earth. That's right. The Bible does reveal that after 4,000.
The end of 4,000 years. It's in the commentary.
4,000 years.
So it says the Messiah, and he is the prince, shall be. He mentions how many years it will be. So from the time that the command went to return and to begin to restore Jerusalem, it was going to be 483 years unto the Messiah, until he was born on the earth. It's incredible. And then verse 26 says, and after. What's the after? 33.5 years later. What happened? The Messiah would be cut off, but not for himself, but for you and I and everyone. Isn't that incredible? You think about it?
Incredible.
It's incredible. So that's just that's where we're going into today. Next week I might talk about some more things, but we got some things to really look at and understand this. And if you want to get the commentary, you can. You know, it's $25 maybe for $3 or so for shipping. I'll be glad to mail it out to you.
Tell them what else is in the commentary.
Oh, boy, there's a lot in this commentary. Okay, we might
spend a minute. I mean, you have spent hours and years putting this together.
Yeah, I started studying this in 1988.
And the Lord is still giving, right, showing you things. Because, you know, I think about what it says over there also in John 16. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, that's what we want, truth,
truth.
To come.
That's right.
He will guide you into all truth.
That's right.
For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Who's the he? The Holy Ghost is going to show you things to come. He's going to show you things of the Father. He shall glorify me, speaking of glorifying Jesus, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. These things are the Lord's.
These are
the things of the things of the Spirit. And the Spirit of Truth is going to reveal these things in the time when the time is right, you know?
That's right.
It says, all things that the Father hath are mine, Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore saith I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you.
Amen.
He says, a little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father.
Amen.
When you read that scripture over there, it says verse 28 of chapter 16.
Mm-hmm.
I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. And that's where he is at right now.
Hallelujah.
He is at the Father's right hand. Amen. Interceding for us.
Right.
So I just want to go down here and finish reading this chapter. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb, because he did speak in Proverbs.
That's right.
Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Amen. Jesus answered and answered them, "Do ye now believe?" Now this part here is what I want to key in on. "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered." How many years have they been scattered?
Long time.
Okay, many years they've been scattered.
But they're coming back, aren't they?
But we see prophetically the return.
That's right.
So he also talks in other places in the Bible, when you see these things begin to happen, you see the return of the Jewish people coming to the land, when you see the restoration of Israel.
That's right,
when
which
you
they're
see
already,
what's happening in Israel,
Amen.
In Jerusalem, you know. Mm-hmm. He says, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own," wherever he's going to send them. There are Jews all over the world.
That's right.
"And shall leave me alone." Yeah. Now, isn't that sad? Yeah. When I was reading that, "and you'll leave me alone," because, you know, they won't be, those who believed that were there with him at that time, and even the first 100 years or so, there were a lot of Jewish people that were saved.
That's right.
Like Paul, you know, but Paul went to the Gentiles. But there were many that were saved. But what has happened over the years, because of persecution and different things, he says, "And ye shall leave me alone."
Yep.
In other words, you're not going to have anything to do with me.
That's right.
You know, you're going to leave me alone.
That's right.
But he goes on and says, "And yet I am not alone." Why is he not alone? Because the Father is with me.
Amen.
So we know he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding for us and for his people, for the Jewish people.
Thank you, Lord.
For he came for them, didn't
Amen.
He?
Amen.
"These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." See?
Amen.
He's the Prince of Peace. "In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So he wasn't concerned about being alone.
No. Nope.
Because he's going to be with the Father. And he knew in time, at the right time, in the right season, you know, these things would come to pass, and we would see the awakening of Israel and Jerusalem, and we would see the return of the Jewish people. And many Jewish people are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I mean, there are hundreds of messianic congregations, not only in the United States, but in other places and in Israel. People are coming to believe again, as the disciples did in the first century, to believe again on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah. So what's happening? We can see that now we're coming to the end of these days.
That's right.
The end of these 2,000 years, the end of this
time.
We're
almost there. That's right.
That's right. And like you said, you're not putting this in concrete. We don't know exactly how...
The year for sure.
The mistakes that are in the calendars. How many calendars have there been over the years?
There's been several, yeah.
Lots of calendars, you know. So we can... The calendars could be off for 3, 5, 10 years.
Let's hope not.
I don't know.
Let's
hope not.
Much. Yeah.
But when we look at the church starting at Pentecost, right? That's when he returned to the Father. At that time,
just
the church started
right
at that within that those few weeks when Pentecost came. So, if we're looking at that timetable for his return of after 2 days, then we can't be looking at the birth part. We have to look at the resurrection.
That's right. That's the
so
most
that's
important
the whole,
thing.
That's the difference. It's those 33 years.
That's right.
Because those 33 years were the time that he lived on this earth as a man
and ministered the last 3.5 years.
Last 3.5
that's right.
years. By the Spirit of God.
That's right. So if we look at this commentary, if you'd like to buy this, we cover all this. Passover is Yeshua's death and the full fulfilling of the Passover lamb. We have unleavened bread talked about. Yeshua, our sinless sacrifice. First fruits, Yeshua's resurrection out from among the dead. The Feast of Weeks, Yeshua sends the Holy Ghost at that time. And then these are all been fulfilled. Now these are all future. The Feast of Trumpets, resurrection, the catching away of the true church before the tribulation. Resurrection of the Old Testament saints and the tribulation martyrs at the conclusion of the tribulation period. Day of Atonement, the day of Yeshua's literal return to the earth at the end of the tribulation period. Feast of Tabernacles, the establishment of the Messianic kingdom and the judging of the nations of the world. Purim, the appointed time of the abomination of desolation being set up in the temple during the tribulation period.
And we'll be talking about that in the next few weeks.
And then Hanukkah, the appointed time to cleanse and rededicate the temple that was desecrated. It will happen at the end. Now, I got a couple minutes here. I'll just mention we got 17 lessons, and then we have 2 appendices. We cover Passover, first fruits, unleavened bread, Daniel's 70-week prophecy we talked about. We have 2 lessons on that, the Feast of Weeks, the wedding of the Messiah. 12 steps of the Jewish wedding shows you all. It just reveals everything Yeshua
awesome.
Came to do. The Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets Part 2. We have two lessons on that. The Day of Atonement. The Feast of Tabernacles. The Appointed Time of Purim. The Appointed Time of Hanukkah. And then we have a lesson called the Conclusion of These Things to Come. And then we're talking now about the last two prophetic days. And I put two appendixes in this new book. The Biblical Dates for Messiah's what? Conception and birth, and then I have a lesson on the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11.
And the charts.
And we got 10 charts. The pictures are worth a lot. And Donna, my wife, worked hard making all the charts. So we have all the charts in the back.
Read the charts.
And we have God's prophetic calendar, 9 appointed times. We have it's a big circle.
And
we
you
have.
Need to know the calendar. That's
right.
The first lesson in the book.
Yeah, with the 12 new moons. There's a civil calendar, the wheat harvest, the latter rain versus what? The religious calendar, the barley harvest. We have a chart on that. The Passover or the Passion Week of Yeshua, it was a Passover week, all right. 50 days to Pentecost, the counting of the Omer, Daniel's 70th week, the Great Tribulation, Yeshua, the fulfillment of tabernacles, the appointed time of Hanukkah, and the syncretism of Israel and the church, and then the last prophetic 2 days, all in this commentary, for $25. It's a college course. You will enjoy it if you order it. Amen?
And that is a very reasonable
so,
price.
That's right. I started studying this in 1988. It's taken me all these years, and I've been thinking about maybe we need to do some of it over because I got a lot of things we could add that we know about now that's been revealed. See, as time goes on, more things is revealed prophetically from the Word of God. And everything in this book, I didn't take it out of anybody's commentary except for one man I realized and used a little bit about the dates of the 4,000 years. The rest of it all came out of the Bible.
And all of the Bible.
And even those 4,000 years up to Christ, you can prove it in the Scriptures without any other calendar, nothing else, just the Word of God. You can add up the years and you see where it comes to.
And you don't use 5 or 6 different versions of the Bible.
One Bible.
People don't have, every time I read a book from somebody, I have to pull out my King James Bible because they've
really
got used scriptures from all different kinds of Bibles. And I know that there are perverted Bibles, many of them, probably all of them except the King James. And so you have to make, and then you've got to have read them. But this way you don't have to do that. So it is a blessing. And it's,
we want the truth
and
nothing but the truth.
It's, what's this called? It's in a spiral.
It's a circular binder, yeah.
Right.
And we can add pages or take things out if
right.
we want.
So we print them as we need them. And then if we need to change or we need to add,
We've had a lot of additions to this over the years, haven't we? Because God's shown us more.
Because God has always shown us more. Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be here on WCNO and also on the internet. You can listen to us every Saturday, 12 noon at WCNO.com. Mm-hmm. And that's just a blessing. If you'd like to give us a call, you'd like to support this radio program, we would be blessed. And I'll give you, if you'd like a calendar for this month, you can call and we'll send that to you. I wanted to mention also, we have services here Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We have Friday night services at 7. And we have Saturday Bible school at 4. Today will be 4 o'clock. And then we also have other classes you can call and we can send you information. I want to mention one more thing, that we do have our Purim program.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know about Purim. It's very important. It's very prophetic to these last days. And that's going to be March 15th. So you need to RSVP if you'd like to come to that. It's at 5 p.m. Thank you, Lord.
So we close
phone number. Let me get
the phone number.
It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So as we close this program every week, we love you, and we want to raise the standard of your life, so we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. What do we say, Pastor?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.